Created when God created us is to worship. And we have that choice to worship. And I believe he calls us to worship. He loves the worship of his people. And so we just sang the song, Lord, I'm going to worship your holy name. I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship. So I want to bless you in your worship this morning. And that it wouldn't just stop here. But the rest of this week, and next week, and next week, another verse that we sang, thank you, PJ, for leading, by the way, was, Lord, take my life, let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life. We have the responsibility of what we do with our lives. We do. We can choose to take life into our own hands, or we can say, Lord, take my life, let it be for you, for your glory. And so that song, I love that song this morning of just saying, Lord, take my life. Use it for your glory. And he can take something, a life, a submitted life, someone that offers themselves to him, he can take that and he can do with it what he wants. Fully surrendered life is beautiful. And we're actually going to look at some of that this morning in the message. We'll talk about some of that, of just a little bit, of someone that was just totally committed to God. Completely committed to God and doing what God wanted him to do. Just a few announcements. We're going to have the offering, and then, so Daniel, if you want to get that ready, the offering this morning is for the building fund. We'll pass the offering, then we have some announcements, and then we'll keep going for this morning. So we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll pray for the offering for the building fund this morning. Lord, thank you so much that you're worthy of our worship. And Father, that we can truly worship you. Father, you alone are worthy of our worship. And Lord, I pray that each person here, each marriage here, each couple here, each family unit here would worship you, that we could be worshipers of you and your holiness. Lord, you're so good. You're faithful. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, this morning, thank you for this building to be in. We're grateful for it. And Lord, I pray a blessing on the gift this morning as we give toward the building fund. Use it for your glory, Father, as well. The monies that get put in the offering this morning, use it for your glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, Daniel, for that. So the offering for the building fund, several announcements that are coming up tomorrow evening. Is men's meeting at our house at 7 o'clock. So men, you are invited to come over 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We're back on schedule. Every third Monday night of the month is our goal. So that's scheduled for tomorrow evening. Friday evening is the game pizza night thing. And I know some of you couples are not around, but I'm excited about it. There is a list posted on the back on the bulletin board. So make sure if you agree to coming, and make sure you look at that so you know where you're going on Friday night. So that's coming up Friday night. I'm excited about that. And a few other things as far as the Way of Jesus Academy. The basketball games, they're starting to have games, play other schools. I have a schedule here of games that are coming up this week. If you're interested in going watching them, you're more than welcome to go and watch. I know Jason's involved. He is not a coach, but he's involved. But so this week, here's the games that are coming up. Tomorrow night, right? Today's the 17th, right? Okay. Yeah, today's the 17th. Tomorrow night is a girls' game only at Fairview. It's at Fairview. I'm looking at the address. Versus the Chase Chargers. Who's the Chase Chargers? Oh, it's another team. Okay, I was going by the school. I see it's the Fairview Road, so I was just like, well, that's the Fairview. I see it. Okay, thank you, Jason. Okay, tomorrow evening, the girls' game is versus the Chase Chargers, 4 o'clock at 1187 Fairview Road, Mannheim is that location. And Friday night, January 22nd, the girls and the boys are playing Ephraim of Mennonite School. It's at Ephraim of Mennonite School. The girls play at 6:30 and the boys play at 7:30. So those are the basketball games coming up for Way of Jesus Academy this week. And they do ask, Way of Jesus asks that if you're a visitor participating or visiting and you're representing Way of Jesus, that you wear masks. That's something that Way of Jesus Academy asks you to do. From what I understand, some schools do and some schools don't. But so if you're going and you're watching Way of Jesus Academy, that's something that they are asking you to do, is to wear a mask when you go to one of the games. Got it? Did I cover that right, Jason?
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah, well, it's out there. People want to. Post it. Yeah, I have a couple yeses. So, absolutely. Put the future games up there on Facebook. Thank you. Any other announcements? Any other questions in regards to Friday night for those of you that are planning to attend? Do you want to participate? Talk to me afterward. I can hook you up. Absolutely. Because Jen, my wife, got it together. So, we can hook you up. Certainly. Absolutely. Any other announcements or questions? All right. This past week, 5 mornings in a row, the same thing happened to me. I left my house in the morning, and I had a destination in mind. I knew where I wanted to go when I left my house. I went out a driveway, I went right, I came down to the crossroad, I made a left, I went to the next red light, I made a right. I made choices which way to turn because I knew my destination. And every time I made my turns to get to that destination, guess what? I ended up at the destination I wanted to get to. Surprise, surprise, right? And that was when I went to work. But you know, that happens to all of us. When you have a destination in mind, you make choices to go and you end up at that destination. Very seldom do you end up somewhere, actually I don't think ever, you end up somewhere where you weren't headed. If you're headed east, your destination is going to be somewhere east unless you turn around. And so my message for the title for the message this morning is to safeguard your destiny. Because we're going to look at a guy that made some choices, and it had lots of consequences. Matt talked about that some this morning, about sin having consequences, and it does. And we looked at what you were talking about this morning, the generations that followed that were all a part of some of the decisions that were made by Jacob and Esau. It affected hundreds of people, probably thousands of people, the choices that they made. And so, what for choices are you making? And do your choices affect other people? Maybe I should ask you that question. We make lots of choices. Some choices may not affect other people as much, like, do you want to eat at Burger King or McDonald's? Well, that won't affect my children, or it won't affect you here at church, where I choose to eat, right? But if you go a little deeper, where do I want to take my family? What direction do I want to take my family? What for destiny do I want my family to end up with? Then I'm talking a little different story, because it's involving more people, right? So we're going to look at a story this morning. And back in Genesis 12 and 13, again, we're still in this. Last week I talked about, in chapter 12, about Abram having a relationship with God and how much they just talked back and forth in Genesis. Just that connection that Abraham had with God was very good. Abraham heard from God. Abraham was obedient. And we see the choices that Abraham made the difference and the hundreds and thousands of people that were affected by the life of Abraham and the life and the decisions that he made. We're also going to look at someone else that was also affected by the life of Abraham. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 13. Turn your Bibles there if you want. Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. Then Abram went up from Egypt. Okay, chapter 12 is what we talked about last week when God called Abraham and Abraham heard God. He was obedient and he took off. I mean, he's moving everything. This is not just a little deal. This is a huge deal. Abraham's moving his family, his cattle, everything he got, and he's moving. Chapter 13, verse 1. Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and that was a lot. Remember we talked about last week about some of the things that he had. And Lot went with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. This is another thing I like about Abram. You see, a number of times he built an altar to God just out of thanksgiving and just connecting with God. And how often do we just take time and thank God? We may not build a stone altar in our backyard, but we just set aside some time and say, God, thank you for what you're teaching me. Thank you for the direction you're giving me. Abraham did that quite a bit. Verse 5, Lot also went with him. Who went with Abraham? He had lots of flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6, now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great, they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there no strife be between me and you, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, because we're brothers. Is not this whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east. They separated each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes. Look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length, its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. There again, we see Abraham build an altar to the Lord. So Lot is who I'm going to look at here this morning. Lot was a nephew of Abraham, or Abram at that point. And Lot, it doesn't say the relationship that they had as far as was it a good relationship, was it not? I'm guessing it was pretty good. But I'm guessing Lot grew up and was watching his uncle. Probably more was caught than taught. He probably saw how the decisions Abraham made. He probably was watching Abraham build altars to the Lord. He was probably watching Abraham, his relationship with God. And so I really believe Lot was growing up and he really saw who Abraham was. And I believe Abraham probably had lots of influence on Lot. And Lot got this great opportunity to move with Abram when he left. And that's what happened. So Lot had a lot of things. And Abram moved, and Lot went along. Now, Lot was a very blessed man as well. He had a lot of things. It says in verse 5, it said, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So Lot was a blessed man at this point in life. He had a lot of things. And so Abraham moves, he moves with them, and they're Abraham and him, they have so many sheep and herds and goats and whatever all they had that the land was getting full, and now their herdsmen were starting to fight and bicker and not get along. So they had a problem. And Abraham sees the problem. And in verse 9, he says, you know what, I'm going to do something. This isn't working. So Abram takes the initiative and says, this, I see a problem here. It's just going to be best for me and Lot to separate. Now, Abram could have just said, Lot, here's your land. Move your people over here. But he didn't. There was two options, and he let Lot choose what he wants. He's like, Lot, you choose whatever you want, and I'll take what you don't choose. So Lot had a choice to make. And this choice was a very vital choice for Lot. I don't know if he recognized what was all in this choice that he was about to make. But I know we have lots of families here. And there are some choices that we need to make. And I think sometimes they're quite a bit bigger than what we realize. Because Lot was choosing a direction here. Abram said, Lot, do you want to go this way or do you want to go this way? And there are times in our lives as parents, we need to choose, do we want to take our family this way or do we want to take them this way? Different directions. Direction leads to destiny. So what did Lot do? Verse 10 says, Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot looks up and he sees the instant gratification of a well watered area. It says it was well watered everywhere. And so that looked great to Lot. The grass looked really green on that side. It looked pretty good. And it was all for him. Abraham wasn't going to be involved anymore. It was just going to be his choice. So Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked at the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. Then verse 11. It says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east and they separated from each other. Excuse me. So verse 11 here, Lot chose. He made a choice. It doesn't say whether he consulted Abram. It doesn't say whether he consulted the Lord about this decision. We don't know that. I would doubt he did. But he chose which direction that he wants to go. He made a choice. It seemed good at the time. It seemed to make sense. It's a well-watered area. But I would want to ask him, Lot, do you really want to go that direction, knowing that that direction is leading to Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that really where you want to go, Lot? And I want to ask you as families, one of my main thing here this morning is I know we have lots of families and lots of young children. And the question I want us to leave here, one of the questions I want us to leave here this morning is, the destiny that you're headed with your family, is that where you want to take your family? The direction you're going, is that where you want to go? So Lot made a choice. It seemed good at the time. Verse 12 says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. Or the King James Version says, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't move there yet. He just was headed that direction. Verse 13 says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. So Sodom is exceedingly wicked. Lot was a righteous man, used to be a righteous man. And now he made a choice, and he has his tent pitched toward Sodom. What is so appealing about Sodom for what once was a righteous man? Sin can look appealing, but it's dangerous. And we see that here in the story of Lot. Why is sin so appealing? Do you think if you were to ask Lot, do you really want to end up in Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that where you really want to end up? I'd like to ask him that question. But I want also to think about that question as well and ask ourselves a question. Where are we taking our family? Did he really want to be friends with those people? Did he want his children to grow up in that environment? I don't know what for school situation they had. I don't know what for parks and playgrounds and stuff they had. But do you really want your kids in that in that environment, growing up there? But he chose to head that direction, and guess what? He ended up in the direction he was going. Ta-da! You do. Your destiny, you get to where in the direction you're headed. And somewhere between chapter 13 and chapter 19, Lot moved. Because in chapter 19, we have Lot living in Sodom. Okay, you can read it for yourself if you want. But he was living there in that mess of sin. He was raising his family there. His children were becoming friends with those kind of children. He was living there. Now, when he made the choice, when Abram gave him the choice of which way to choose, he looked and, you know, this plain is well-watered. It looks really good. It's possible he made his choice what was best for his herd. I don't know that. It's possible. Well-watered. I got lots of cattle. This looks like a great choice for my herds. But he didn't make a good choice for himself. So what for choices are you making? Are there other things outside you and your family that are determining or that are influencing your choice in life on the direction of where you're going? So what is your destiny as a family, as a person? Where are you headed? Do you want to raise your family in the destination that you're headed toward? Is it the plain of Jordan, like Lot? Does the grass appear to be greener on that side of the fence? And I know we've all heard that saying, probably the grass is greenest on the other side, or the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. I don't agree with that. I say the grass is greenest where you water it, whether it's on your side of the fence, because you can make your grass green as well. But what direction are you going? Is it the newest and latest and greatest thing that's happening, the choices, the direction that you're going? Or are you even like Lot? The Bible doesn't say that he asked for anyone's advice. I think Abram would have. Looking at Abram's life and his direction, he had a good connection with God. And I think he asked God a lot about his life, about directions in life. I don't think Lot did. So do you ask God for direction in your life? Do you ask God for direction for your family? More important than your current location is the direction that you're headed. You headed this way, or you headed that way? Abram stayed in the will of God. And we see that as you read, if you read on in down here, he stayed in the will of God. Now, it appeared like outwardly where he chose to move to wasn't as outwardly successful. It wasn't as prosperous, and it didn't look like it at that point because Lot chose the well-watered area. And so I'm guessing the other area was not well-watered. But here's the difference. The location, the direction that Abraham went was God was there. And the direction that Lot went was a city that was exceedingly wicked. So being where God is and where God wants you to be is very vital and important. And you can ask him. The thing about God, if you don't know, you ask him. Verse 19. We have some issues coming up. I'm sorry. Chapter 19. I'm not going to go there, but if you read down a couple of different chapters, again, I said earlier, somewhere between chapter 13 and chapter 19, Lot moved to Sodom. Chapter 19 is when the angels come in and find Lot living in Sodom, and there's where his problems really start coming up. Matt talked about this morning, you reap what you sow, and that's exactly right. And your decisions, your choices also have consequences. And so, I'm not going to get into this story in chapter 19. I think a lot of us know what happened. Angels came into Lot and said, hey, Lot, you got to get out of here because I'm going to destroy the city. And we know the story. Lot just ended up leaving with his wife and his two daughters is all that he left with. And as they were leaving, he lost his wife through the situation as well. She turned around, very clear instructions, walk out of the city, do not turn back. As they were walking, his wife turned back and boom, she became a pillar of salt. But before you blame Lot's wife, if you're walking away from everything that you have, wouldn't you want to look back one more time? Maybe not. It's possible. Maybe you just keep going. For me, I think if I would be leaving up my city, my house, and it would be burning up, I would really want to just glance back too and look at it maybe one more time. But God said no. And she did, and she became a pillar of salt. But anyway, so Lot lost his wife, and he ended up with just his two girls. Now remember, we started talking about how much Lot had. Remember when Lot moved with Abraham? It said how much he has in verse 5. Lot also went with Abram. He had flocks and herds and tents. Lot started out with an incredible amount of things. He was so blessed. And he ended up losing everything. Because of what? Because of his choices. and the direction that he chose to go. He ended up in the way he was headed. And Abraham did too, but they were opposite directions. And thinking of just Lot's wife as well, and even Lot. When being comfortable with sin and an ungodly environment, it's hard to leave. And I think that was the case here as well. We see it with the rest of Lot's family. None of the others chose to go along. They stayed there. It's hard to get out of that kind of situation. But God can help anyone get out of that situation. There's no situation that's too difficult for God to help you get out of. And so, Lot ended up with just two of his daughters. And if you read the story, I'm not going to get into that as well. But it didn't just stop there with Lot. The difficulties didn't just stop there with Lot. You see what his two daughters did to him. Ridiculous. But where did his two daughters learn those things to do what they did to Lot, to their own dad? The city. Their peers, their influences, the people that they were involved with, they picked all that up. So it wasn't just something that just happened, oh, let's do this to dad. I'm guessing it was probably over a period of time. The evil influence that was surrounding them caused them to do that to your dad. Read the story if you want. It's an interesting story. So Lot's move to Sodom cost him dearly. From everything to nothing. And so is the direction you're going this morning. And again, specifically, I want to look at our families because I know a lot of us have young children. And we talk about Jacob and Esau during Sunday school. We look at Abraham. We look at Lot, the grandchildren, the grandchildren. These decisions have an impact on them. But so often we look at the instant gratification, just like Lot, the well-watered area, and we move there, not paying attention to what is beyond that, that we're literally heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's a choice he made. But we have choices to make as well. Do you really want to end up at the destination where your path is leading to? Do you want to live there? Do you want to call it home? Do you want to raise your family there? So this morning, I want you to remember Lot and to safeguard your destiny. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you that you're God. I want to thank you that you're our Father. And I want to thank you that you have plans, you have purposes for us. And Father, there are things that there is a way for us as people, as families. There is a good, proper, righteous way for us to live here on earth that you are in. But then there's also an ungodly and a wicked place here on earth ran by Satan. And we have a choice on which one we choose. If we don't intentionally choose, Father, to follow after you, we default to evil. But Lord, I want to thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord, if we choose to follow after you with all of our heart. We can walk in the ways of righteousness. We can walk in the paths like Abraham did and not Lot. And so, Father, this morning I'm asking that each one of us would really take a look at our destiny and where we're taking our families this morning. And that we would remember Lot and we would safeguard our destiny. So, Lord, I pray a blessing on each person that's here. Thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, I want to thank you that there is no situation that any of us are in that you can't come into and completely redeem and heal our situations and change our direction. As long as we have life, as long as we have breath, Father, we can still change direction. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go from here today, we would head in the right direction for your glory. So thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do this week. Lord, we have lots of things planned this week. Men's meeting tomorrow night, the basketball games this week, school, and Friday night. Lord, just a lot of things planned. Lord, I pray that we could all do it for your honor and for your glory. You're good. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.